Órale pues, Raza. Welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, the Beto Man, Beto, and we have a very special and interesting guest here today. Can you introduce yourself?
Cipriano Leos.
All right. And ¿de dónde son tus padres?
De México.
¿De dónde, más o menos?
Aguascalientes, my mother, and my dad, Matamoros.
¿Y cómo se llamaban?
Cipriano Leos, María Jesús Leos.
All right. And ¿cuántos hermanos y hermanas tuviste?
Éramos tres hermanos y tres hermanas.
All right. And ¿dónde naciste tú?
En San Antonio.
Texas.
Texas.
¡Órale! So eres tejano, ¿verdad?
Tejano.
¡Órale! And what year were you born?
1921.
Wow. All right. So how old are you now?
97.
Wow. Congratulations. ¿Verdad?
Thank you.
Well, did you ever think that you were going to live that long?
No.
Gracias a Dios, ¿verdad? Otro día. Ahí vamos marchando adelante. All right. So, I know, did you grow up your entire life in Texas?
Up till the 24.
Okay. So, let's start off with why your parents went to Texas.
Well, that's a good question.
The revolution.
My dad crossed the border when it only cost him 10 cents to cross the border.
Wow.
So I guess it was a free entrance with no regulations at the time. And from there on, he made his living there in San Antonio. And
¿En qué trabajó?
Tailoring.
Tailoring, okay.
Yeah.
And your mom?
She never worked.
Okay, all right. And so then, are you in the middle? Are you the oldest or are you the youngest?
My sister was the oldest. I was the second to her.
Okay, so you're pretty old, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
I mean, compared to all your brothers and sisters.
We were six.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay. So then, where did you go to elementary school?
Burnett. Burnett School.
Mm-hmm. Middle school?
It's a elementary.
Okay, but where did you go to middle school?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, all right.
Yeah.
And high school?
I only lasted 6 weeks there. I quit.
Oh,
well, we were, you know, at the time there was a slight discrimination, and the way things went by, I didn't like the surroundings, so I quit. My mother didn't even know about it. So that was the kind of guy I was.
All right. So tell me about the discrimination. This is very important because a lot of youngsters, they don't see the discrimination. They don't understand. That was such a long time ago to them, but to you it was just yesterday. So tell me about that discrimination.
Well, actually, in that time, I never had problems as far as going here, going there. But they did have discrimination. Actually, the blacks were the worst. They had theaters. You couldn't eat in the same spot as a white. And they had even the theaters. The blacks had to go way up on top in the gallery. We were mixed. As far as we're concerned, we weren't that discriminated. Outside of that, we're okay.
So you quit middle school. Why?
I quit school because, I don't know, just...
No particular reason, right?
No, really.
Okay. And te ponitas a trabajar, ¿qué hiciste?
No, well, I think at the time I was about 12 years old. I had a bicycle, I had a friend, and we were just bumming around from one place to another. And finally, I came my mother noticed I was bumming around too much. I said, you know what? You better go with your dad and learn a trade. At least you're under something. And that's why I became a tailor.
All right. So your dad taught you?
Yes.
All right. And in your 8 years old, what year was this?
No, I was 12. I was 15 at the time.
15.
When I first started tailoring.
So that would be what, 1938? 1938. Wow, okay. All right. So this is right before the big war, ¿verdad? World War II, ¿verdad? All right.
World War II.
And so now you're 15. So by the time the war came around, 1941, how old were you?
Well, 38 was not the World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1941 was World War II. Right,
yes.
Correct. How old were you by 1941 when the war
24.
Hit? 24. So you were still old enough to go, ¿verdad?
Well, they drafted me. Mm-hmm. I was drafted, and I went into the Navy, which I was lucky to get the Navy, because Navy never drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Even the recruiting guy, he looked at me and said, well, how do you like that? So I like that. I do. It's good. And I was already married. I got married in 1940. When the war, I went in on the late side. It was 1945. And I was just in for a year.
Okay. All right.
And after that, I went back to tailoring, make my living there. We had a cousin here in California, and she persuaded my wife, why don't you guys stay here? And I used to hear good about California, paying indifference in salaries. So I decided I'd stay, which I did. I'm still here.
All right. And ¿por qué te casaste? ¿Cómo se llama tu esposa?
Elvira.
All right. Y te casaste en 1940.
1940.
And so how many children did you have?
How many children I had?
Yes.
Four.
Cuatro. ¿Cómo se llaman?
Ernesto Leos, Albert Leos, Susie Leos, Lucy Leos.
All right. And she was also from Texas, from the hometown?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, not from San Antonio. She was Eagle Pass. She was born in Eagle Pass.
All right. And how did you guys meet?
How did I meet her?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were living in her aunt's house. We were renting from her. She had quite a size house there, and she had a couple of rentals, and we were one of them. And she came visiting one time there, and I saw her, but I'd never give it a thought. But when me and my friend were one time in a plaza, little plaza, and it happened that they were around, and then I said, but let's go try to see if we can make connections. So we did, and we start from there, and then we start talking, and then from there on, we went there. 2 years I went with her, then we got married.
All right.
And that was 1940.
That was 1940.
Yeah.
So when the war hit, what did you think of the war?
Well, I didn't think anything of it. I just kept going, you know, kept day by day, week by week, working. And all of a sudden, I get a greetings.
This is Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went. I had a friend that me and him went same time, and he was a tailor.
Uh-huh.
And we went for examination, and then I was deferred for about 6 months. After the examination, we went back home, and he got called on an emergency, and I didn't get called. Stayed back, and after six months, I got called in, and then that's when I came to San Diego. And I spent my time there. Well, war was still on. It was Germany and Japan. After that, well, they dropped Truman was the president, and he dropped that nuclear bomb. The war's over.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then you only served in San Diego?
I was transferred from San Diego to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Then from Portland, I was discharge. I had to go to Washington, mm-hmm. and then from there on, I got back to Los Angeles.
All right. Did you serve on a ship?
No.
No, you didn't serve
on
a ship.
No, I was in those industrial base.
Okay.
Fixing them. Do this, do that. They had me as a rigger, from a tailor to a rigger. So anyway, we hardly done anything anyway.
Right.
It was a lot of loafing.
Yeah, everybody did their part, ¿verdad? One way or another, ¿verdad?
Yeah, we all just right. stuck around.
All right. And so then after the war, 1945, so you went back to Texas, right?
Yeah.
And
No, wait a minute. No, I didn't. I stayed here in California.
Okay, so that's when you actually...
Yeah, the cousin persuaded us to mm-hmm. stick around.
Ah.
And I used to hear good about it. So I said, okay. So I went looking for a job right away. I got one. At the time, there was a lot of jobs open. And I started working in Broadway at 3rd. There was a tailor there. I worked there for one day. And then I jumped to a better spot in Culver City. I was getting, at that time, salaries were a little low. But it was comparison. It was a good, the first job was offered $1.50 an hour, which I said, and I had seen in the paper $2 an hour, and they liked my work over there. So, and the guy said, I want you to come over here and work for us. We're going to pay you $1.25 an hour. I said, you know what? I don't think I can make it. He offered me $1.50. He said, well, you know what? There's a job I'd like to go see. And if I don't get it, I'll be glad to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are you going to pay over there? He said, $2 an hour. And the guy, he said, the boss, he said, oh, okay. You know what? If you get the job, give me a ring. I may go apply for it myself. Oh, so I never came back. I got the job.
Orale. All right.
And then I sat there for about over a year, and I jumped over to another job. And I ended up in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
4 years I stayed there. After 4 years, I had another job. I used to like to make piecework.
And what is piecework?
Make the whole garment.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A piece of work is make the whole garment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to get that. So I was there for a while, and I had a partner. And then this partner of mine, he said, you know what? Why don't we get a place and maybe we can work for this guy, for that guy. And I wasn't too crazy about it because I used to get good jobs. So we ended up getting a place anyway. Then we're there for a while, and then he ended up getting a little sick. And then the doctor said, you know what, you need a drier climate. So he went back to San Antonio, Texas. And after that, I kept the place going. Up till now, I still have it.
All right. And where is this place at?
In Hollywood, 6715 Hollywood Boulevard.
All right. ¿Y cómo se llama?
Cipriano Custom Tailors.
All right. Okay. So now, did you ever make suits?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's all I made, suits. I had Pancho Segura. I made suits for him. Bob Sterling, Errol Scheib. Several other, Tom Bain, an assemblyman, and quite a few more.
All right. And so now...
After that, I had a chance to go to the studios. So I had a chance to go to studios. I worked for Warner, CBS for a year, and then I jumped over to Warner Brothers, 14 years there, part-time. So I kept my place going.
Okay, well, let's talk about the first one, ¿verdad? CBS, ¿verdad?
CBS, I was there for a year.
Okay, now in CBS, how did you get over there? Who invited you? Did somebody invite you? Did you apply?
That's where I started. I had a friend
mm-hmm.
that he used to live where I had the shop,
mm-hmm.
and I used to get his calls. When they called him, I go up there and tell him about it. Finally, I told him, say, you know. You think there's a chance to get in there? Because they're the highest paid.
Mm-hmm.
The highest paid. So.
And how much was that at the time?
At the time, it was $2.75
an
hour.
What year was this, más o menos?
1979.
Wow, okay.
And after that, I went to Warner Brothers, because only a year, then I got laid off. then right away they called me Warner Brothers, because all the studios are together, so we can work from one to another. And I worked there 14 years, and after that I retired. I was 65 years old, and I was working from the shop.
So what year did you retire?
About 1990, something like that.
Okay, so you're in the movie industry for a long time también, ¿verdad?
And then I got called for a little extra work, and here I meet a guy that took up a show, and he comes to me and says, "You want to work for me?" And that was the name of that show was JAG,
mm-hmm.
and that was like a foreman. I was the one in charge, and I worked there 12 years straight without stopping.
Wow.
And that gave me a chance to get my Social Security up, so I was happy.
All right. And you got awarded.
I got awarded, yeah. We made a movie at the time on Gypsy. The leading man played Gypsy. It's like in Russia. And we made a special shirt, and then my boss, he got the award, and then I was a second to him, and he gave me a plaque on that, showing that appreciation on my work that I made.
Right. So where'd you get your inspiration to make the shirt?
Well, no, we were making all types, like uniforms to begin with. It was a military, Navy military. See, he was disguised to go to Russia because he was looking for his father. David was the lead guy, David. Mm-hmm. And he disguised himself as a gypsy. And that was a real balloon shirt special he got the reward. After that, things were normal again. I worked and then I retired in 2004
mm-hmm.
from that show.
2004.
And
yeah.
Then I went back to my business shop that I always kept. And I'm still there.
Ahí va, ¿verdad? All right, yeah. Well, good. Now, what other actors did you meet and happen to know?
Clint Eastwood. The main actor, James Elliott, that's a Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Bob Sterling as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
He played Topper.
Mm-hmm. What about Ricardo Montalban?
Yeah, we had him in the Warner Brothers for 7 years, and in the Fantasy Island.
¿Y cómo era él? ¿Se portaba bien? I mean, sometimes you talk about actors, you know, and you really don't know them. You don't know how they act.
He was a nice guy. He would come over to us on a coffee break and talk to us. Yeah, he was very nice. He was there for 7 years. He was a little guy, Harvey, the plane.
Yeah, the tattoo.
Tattooed, yeah. That's right.
And talking about being a tailor, now this you know, a lot of people say, well, one size fits all, ¿verdad? Is that true?
What?
One size fits all?
No. No, it's not true.
So how many different body types is there? How do you know más o menos what's going to fit somebody?
Size 38, size 40, mm-hmm. size 42, size with a big belly.
Mm-hmm. Full seat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where we come in and adjust all that.
And
as a tailor.
And material is usually one price, or I mean,
no, it all depends on the size of the person. It could go to 4 or 5 yards. All depends on the size. The regular was 3.5 yards on a regular person.
Uh-huh.
5'10", 3.5 yards.
The other day I saw on television they were talking about, does it really matter what side it hangs?
Well, I guess to me it would matter, yeah.
Good answer.
You know, people that don't understand that, they wouldn't notice a difference. They figure a suit is a suit.
Right. All right. And so talking about suits, I mean, sometimes suits can be very cheap or they could be very, very expensive, ¿verdad?
Oh, yeah.
What's the highest suit that you've seen in price?
$3,000.
Really?
Well, 'cause in Beverly Hills, I'm talking about Beverly Hills, that's where their prices were up high. Because being that the rents are up high, naturally they have to charge big. But that's the biggest price I've heard of, $3,000.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And did you ever, like, go to Europe and look at, I mean, because a lot of people talk about Italian suits.
Well, that's number one right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
So did you ever get a chance to go see other tailors and talk to other tailors from other countries, nothing like that?
No, just here. Never went out of the country.
Right.
I went to Spain, but I never even thought about going to check out
other tailors, yeah. Uh-huh.
I was just having a good time.
So, well, good. What are that? And so then, so you've always, you pretty much work alone now. You've worked alone for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
You've had your own business. You're a businessman. What do you recommend for a lot of people if they want to get into tailoring? What would you recommend?
To learn the tailoring today, it gets to be a little hard. Now, today's hardly any custom tailoring. Today, what you have now is alterations, and that's what you have now to make a living. Otherwise, in new work, there's very little. And I used to have 8 guys working for me. I used to make a lot of clothes for different stores, but no more. That's sort of a passé.
So that all just depends, right?
Yeah.
So when did people really, I guess, start paying for their own suits? ¿Qué eran? ¿Drug dealers? I mean, who bought suits?
Well, now what they buy is a ready-made.
Okay, so they're all
off the rack.
Off the rack, everybody, ¿verdad? So nobody comes in to actually make their own custom suit. ¿Y por qué no? Because it's too expensive?
Too expensive, yeah.
Okay, uh-huh.
I'm making one now, right now. It's going to cost him $700 just the coat.
Really? Wow. Just the coat?
Just the coat.
But how many hours do you invest in just making one coat?
It's actually 24 hours.
Really? A whole day?
Yeah,
just to make a coat?
8 hours a day.
Wow.
All right. A lot of hand work to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And does that include the pants and the chaleco? Well, it's a chaleco, right?
A chaleco.
A vest.
That takes a week.
Really?
The whole suit with a vest, it takes a week.
Uh-huh.
Hand work.
One
single tailor.
Mm-hmm.
It's why now it's too expensive for an average person to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones who could pay, like celebrities, to make the big money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Attorneys,
mm-hmm.
doctors.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's about it.
All right. And so tell me a little bit about let's go back just a little bit to the movie industry and who else you met. Is there anybody that we're missing here? How about women? Did you do dresses?
Oh, no, no dresses.
No dresses, just the men.
Well, we make alterations on dresses now.
Mm-hmm.
But no new work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anyone else that you would like to mention?
Well, I would like to mention my granddaughter, which is working right now in my business, and her name is Tepeta. That's my granddaughter, so my son's daughter.
All right. ¿Y qué hace por ti?
She takes care of the customers and sort of fits them and taking calls, delivers. And she's getting to be pretty handy. She just starting up the trade right now.
All right.
And I think she's going to be pretty good.
All right. Is there anyone else you want to mention?
Oh, David, my grandson. He's a drummer,
mm-hmm.
musician. He's a real nice kid.
All right, all right. All right, well, muchas gracias, eh?
De nada.
So I guess we're going to finish it up then. Is there any messages to the youth that you want to say?
Regarding?
Stay in school, stay out of jail, don't join gangs, anything like that.
No, never was in jail. Only one time.
Oh, really?
We had a ball team.
Uh-huh.
And used to play ball, and we, at the end, when we quit, used to go have a few drinks, have some beer, and then a cousin happened to go into deaf and dumb place. Well, that's what they were there, and they were a little rough. And my cousin, he started making signs, you know, like looking for trouble, and then we end up fighting there. We ended up getting caught and took to jail. They took us to jail.
Okay, huh?
And we spent the night, the whole night. And finally, they bail us out.
All right.
And cost us $50 fine and 3 years probation.
All right.
And that was about the worst thing that happened to me.
All right. Once again, any messages to the youth to stay out of trouble? What would you tell the youngsters today?
To stay out of trouble, that's just don't drink over the amount, because you know when you drink too much, you get crazy, and that gets you in trouble. To stay away from that, be nice, be able to meet each other as friends.
All right,
and that's. That's about it.
All right. Well, muchas gracias for coming in. You've been listening to Chicano Highlights. We've been here having a great interview with este compañero. Remember to listen to Radio Aslan every Friday night from 5:30 in the afternoon to 7 a.m. in the morning. You've been listening to Beto Man, Chicano Highlights. And also listen to, of course, to Simulcast on KUCR 88.3 FM. That's KUCR.org. And also a podcast on EastLAReview.com. That's REVUE. .com. Ahí te guacho, raza. Hasta la próxima.
Pobre de mí. Ay, corazón. see.